Welcome to Highway Diary. This is your host, Eric Hollerbach. With me, Kevin Little.
Hey, yeah, Kevin Little. What's up, Eric Hollerbach?
How you doing, bud? You know, we've done a lot of podcasts together in different circumstances.
We have.
We've done Seafreeze podcasts a million times, you know?
Yeah.
But now we are in an intense battle situation where tonight we're going against each other.
Yeah, competition.
You know, we're at the Encore Music Club. You know, I feel like I have a 30% chance of winning. You have a 70% chance of winning. You filled the audience with like 20 people.
Yeah, I did bring the crowd.
You know what I'm saying? They were supportive. Who knows?
For the most part.
It is weird. Right now, there's like $400 on the line.
Yeah.
It's like a coin flip. Who's going to win all that money?
I feel like I'm going to win.
I kind of agree with you.
I just hope I'm going to win. And, you know, I'm channeling the positive energy. I've been practicing this set for a few months now.
Yeah.
So, and I added a couple new ones.
I think you ended really strong, you know? It was like Simba.
You know, Simba is a solid closer.
That's a solid closer.
Yeah.
You're anointing girls with your spunk and stuff. Hello, yeah. Patriarchy.
Also, it reminds them of their childhood and daddy issues.
Everyone's got that VHS
at the same time
of the Lion King.
Right.
So when you come on their head and then they get like Simba anointed, it's like, wow, my life is full circle now.
It's just like, whoa, Kevin is Rafiki.
Right?
Yeah.
So you've done stand-up for about a year now?
Yeah, a little bit over a year. I've always wanted to try
it. And was Chris Fremen the person that pushed you into it?
Yeah, Chris Seafree helped push me into it. And a couple of my friends, they did some videos. And they didn't go any kind of viral or anything. But they did it. It was kind of in college and high school. They were dicking around and...
Yeah.
I know, I was just, honestly, ever since I was a kid, I've been encapsulated with the idea of a stand-up comic, because they have an entire arena of people,
yeah,
giving 100% attention and being totally entertained.
For real.
By just one person there talking. It's one single person talking, acting stuff out, telling stories, even one-liners, what have you. But entertaining a massive crowd of people with just their creative thoughts.
It's almost
and
like
nothing
a,
else.
Like a, the preacher of like a super preacher who's got like a super stadium full of people.
Yeah,
you know?
But except instead of using like, you know what I mean, controlling like hateful fire and brimstone psychological tactics to make them fear you and to like fear. Into liking them, you win them over by being funny and lovable and saying clever things.
Now, let me tell you this. Today, I was writing a paper about how, there's this book called Create Your Own Religion by Daniele Bolelli. And he's been on my podcast before.
Oh,
he
cool.
wrote a book called Create Your Own Religion. And he says that, like, you know, the dogmas of all different religions don't get to test their craft. Traditional martial arts get to test their craft in the Ultimate Fighting Championship. Oh, you think that karate's the best shit? Well, go into the Ultimate Fighting Championship, get your head kicked in by Muay Thai, and then you realize, like, oh shit, Muay Thai versus karate, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Or get somebody to BJJ you into a
Kimura,
and then you snap your arm off.
Yeah, for real. But, like, religion doesn't have that luxury.
Yeah.
But for my... And he does the argument that religion... The only way to test out religion is to look at history and go, what religion worked on what society and what result happened from that society. But... In my opinion, comedy is the ultimate battleground of ideas.
Okay, yeah.
So comedy is my religion.
Well, it's a battleground of funny ideas and entertaining. Another battleground of ideas might be, you know, of a different type, you know, the pharmaceuticals, those ideas for drugs, but it's a pure art form that involves writing, acting, speaking publicly, and marketing, and even like literary devices and know, illusions and stuff like that. It's a very, very pure art form. And it's had a recent resurgence lately, but I feel like the internet with the vines and everything kind of degrades it a little bit and kind of takes away from the essence of being out there live in front of people without being able to edit and retry it over and over. You got to land it and nail it in the pressure, in the heat, and it's exhilarating and it's awesome. And if you ever thought about trying it, you totally should.
Yeah. Shit's hard. There's a lot of pressure. There's money on the
line
tonight.
It is definitely difficult because...
But I think comedy is my religion because there's some kind of truth that has... You have to get, like, what people are thinking, say what people are thinking, say what people of different politics are thinking, and make them laugh. And then you sit there not laughing, like, yeah, I just said that shit. Yeah, I'm the master of that knowledge. That's obvious to me, but you're laughing because that's not obvious to you.
That's a good point, yeah. It's a really ancient and powerful art form. And if you think about it like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Very, I don't know, it's hard to... You're finding something that everyone has in common, articulating it and expressing it in a way that makes people feel good. You know, if you're in the middle of a hearty laugh, you forget about all the struggles and pain of your life for just a brief moment and a brief window of pure joy, yeah, you know, you can experience and share with everybody.
So also yesterday, Donald Trump was elected the next president.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Hold on one sec. Okay. Is this live?
Yeah, we're still recording. Okay. You need to talk to some people?
Yeah, I was going to say bye because everybody's leaving.
All right.
Hey, Blakey, bye. Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Where are you going?
I don't know. I'm doing this interview right now.
Like a podcast, you know?
I'm going to text y'all.
I still need to know what that joke is, though.
Okay.
Oh, the glass ceiling one.
Yeah.
So women make like
and
78
it,
cents per dollar.
Yeah, but the wage—it's like
what?
The wage gap.
The glass part afterwards, but it still didn't.
But like on average, if a man makes $1 an hour, women make 78 cents.
Yeah, but repeat the joke.
Tell you later. I'll tell you later after this. Okay, I'll meet up with y'all. Yeah.
Yo, that girl.
Sorry about that.
Yo, her name is Blake. She looks like Blake Lively. What's happening?
Oh, that's my friend's fiance.
Yeah,
they're amazing people.
Did he pay for that Camaro?
Oh yeah, he owns this company, a local New Orleans company called Zito's Metal Work, and he refurbishes metal pieces. He does a lot of stuff with churches and art different frames.
Churches.
And studios.
So that business is still alive. The church business.
Oh yeah, that's one of the oldest rackets.
You know, the comedy business has to take over the church business, in my opinion. You know, if the church business makes $15 billion, the comedy business probably makes $2 billion. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, in the
it's
church...
It's like those fucking hacks. They don't
I
even
mean,
say
church
anything
business,
funny.
They have the fucking... they got the fucking government in their pocket. They're not paying
and
any
And also,
taxes.
They got one fucking book to learn. It's like, you lazy cocksuckers. You're not even looking at, like, current events. You know what I mean? You're not, like... pushing the forum forward of
definitely
ideas.
Definitely not pushing the envelope.
For real.
Of any form of intellectual progress.
How important are comedians to you? Like, in my opinion, like, you know, if you're looking at the analogy, and I was writing this paper today, and I'm like, you know, a fucking shit dick. You know, I'm in grad school and stuff, so I'm like super pompous about stuff, you know
right.
what I mean? But, like, I was writing this paper today, and I was saying that, like, you know, in mixed martial arts, like Daniele Bellulli and Create Your Own Religion was talking about, the dogmas fight. Karate, Kung Fu, you know, what would happen if Buddhism versus Christianity in the octagon, you get a beer, you know, you watch the pay-per-view. In my opinion, like comedy, you actually get to see that. You actually get to get a beer and you watch people do comedy. And comedy, like, can put ideas to test. They can change whole sovereign nations. They can KO, like, stupid fucking systems like the Kim Jong-un, who is the dictator and the religion of North Korea. Hmm. So it's like Kim Jong-un, you know, you make some jokes about them. If someone sees a stand-up performance, let's say someone never saw any other media ever except North Korean propaganda media. Mm-hmm. And then they saw a stand-up comic and they learned English and they learned what they were saying about, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you can blow someone's fucking mind and break them out of a paradigm. What if someone's a Scientologist? They've been a Scientologist for 30 years. They see one stand-up performance, mm-hmm. and they've deprogrammed from their fucking tradition that was made by a bloated, fucking retarded, you know, member of the military-industrial complex, L. Ron Hubbard, was like a lifelong, like, black operations.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he met some aliens. He definitely gave a hand job to, like, Xenu or something
like
that.
Yeah, Xenu likes the HJs. We know that.
I'm just saying, like, he was, like, deep in the military. He was deep into occultism. He was a black magician who studied out under Aleister Crowley. He also studied under Jack Parsons, who started the JPL, Jack Parsons Propulsion Laboratory, who was like a multi-billionaire war propaganda, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm saying, but what I'm saying is comedy supersedes all religions. It supersedes all politics. It's very important.
Yeah, I mean, comedy, especially in terms of, like, the speaking aspect. In an age where everybody is glued to their phones, they don't know how to speak to somebody in person, they text, every form of communication is via text and typing, and you can redo and retype and get the perfect message, and it's not staring someone in the windows of their soul and thinking of something on the spot and maintaining a conversation. The biggest decisions in the world happen via conversation, via people, you know, discussing things that are going to happen and making plans and ideas. Comedy, especially when you hit a eureka moment, when you're on stage and you think of something funny to tack onto a joke or right before you're about to hit the stage, that is the creative. It's taking something that never existed before and the energy goes into your brain, and then it's delivered to the audience via a well-crafted form of art that is speaking, that's an orator, that's an entertainer, and at the same time can make poignant points and actually make great change in the world around them. Because, like, look at Arab Spring. People saw all kinds of things, especially women, you know, seeing
other
women.
Okay, I'm so stupid. What's Arab Spring? What does that mean?
If social media in 2012, I believe, yeah. Social media sprung people in the Saudi Arabian nations, saw what the rest of the world was like, and peacefully protested for their rights.
To, like, you know, look super hot. They didn't want
Yeah, not just that. Just to be able to get education. Female education is so low. Yeah. So they don't have to just plop out kids. And they can actually pursue something and maybe come up with an idea that's going to change the world. Or look, be a fucking hilarious comedian and bring happiness and joy to people all around the world.
Maybe I get a business degree. Maybe I look super hot, and maybe some guy buys me a Camaro. You know what I mean? It's like,
right. But I like,
it's like there's like different levels.
I like the point you said, because like comedy, it really can, it's at the core of every form of human interaction, from a small conversation to an important bill that needs to be passed through Congress. If you can harp on something that's a universal truth and make people laugh, and it can really, you know, change the situation from negative to positive, all through brain energy, go as a conduit through your physical form.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? On some deep next level shit.
You know, we've seen, we're almost out of time. We've seen some people quit, you right. know? Jackie Jr. We've seen some people steal a lot of jokes. We were talking about privately.
Oh, homeboy, yeah.
We were talking privately about some other comics like stealing jokes tonight at
just
this show.
Now, and he got to the finals. I mean,
you know what I mean?
That is just deplorable.
What do you mean? So we're at the finals of the best comic in New Orleans contest hosted at Encore Music Club in Metairie. And one of the people that got to the finals, like, stole, like, pretty much all their jokes.
Yeah, from the internet, like, straight up Googling one-liners.
And we're both kind of a little bit pissed about that.
Oh, that infuriates me, because I've been working and crafting these jokes for, you know, over a year now. And bouncing stuff back between me and my friends and doing whatever I need to do to make the jokes as good as they can be. And this guy Googles something and just writes it and remembers some Google jokes for 5 fucking minutes. It's just, it's disgusting. And it really is kind of insulting and a slap in the face to all of us, especially you, who you are way more hardworking when it comes to going to all the mics and practicing and trying out new material and doing things. You're one of the people that maybe want to keep doing it.
Oh, shucks.
Yeah, oh, shucks is right.
Stop, keep going.
Yeah, because when I heard about how hard you were going in the paint, because I had, you know, problems with this old girlfriend and I was feeling down in the dumps, and Eric Hollaback basically was like, stop being such a damn vagina and bust out some mics and, you know, actually practice. And that's what happened. It was awesome.
Thanks, Kevin Lil.
Yeah.
Yo, let's go see who won this
motherfucker.
Yeah,
let's see who won this.
Isn't this crazy?
Yeah.
This is real. All right. On the flip side.
Amanda Rose, ladies and gentlemen. Amanda Rose. All right, are you now ready to find out who the funniest comedian in the Gulf South 2016 is?
Yeah!
All right, right after this. No, I'm joking. No. I'm joking. I feel like Ryan Seacrest.
Oh, my God.
Except I got better hair. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the Aldo Award and $400 cash, please give it up for Shep Kelly. Shep Kelly, ladies and gentlemen. Come on up, Shep. And if we get all contestants on the stage and our judges, let's get a group photo.
You want to talk? Lance Arnold.
Yes.
After the first Encore show.
I'm a little dejected, you know? I got beat by a woman that looks like a man. You know, right? That's just unfair.
Kelly took it.
Yeah. I mean, she talks about having breast cancer and all, and that just threw everybody off. How can you beat somebody that has breast cancer?
You think that's what happened?
I think that's what happened.
Discrimination. What? Huge yes. Revelation.
I wish I had breast cancer.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Lance.
Oh,
hey, Shep, come here.
What's
you
up?
You just won.
I just won. You know what? Butch Lives Matter, hashtag. Don't forget the hashtag.
How's it feel, Shep?
It feels great. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, I got my drawers with the dick holes in them.
Yeah.
I'm winning.
Did you pay your rent this month?
A little bit.
Some
at a time. At a time. A little bit at a time.
Yeah, that feels good.
Yeah, it does feel good, man. You know, I just came out to have a good time, and you know what I'm saying? All the comic camaraderie has done everything for me.
So the Aldo Award, have you met Aldo?
No, I haven't. I just moved to New Orleans in February, so I didn't get to know him, but tonight I learned of his legacy, and it was you know, it's freaking awesome, and this whole thing was awesome, you know what I'm saying? It's a place for us to come out here and tell our jokes.
Congratulations.
Thanks again, man. I appreciate it.
You deserve it, Chef Kelly.
Man. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, America.
You were like at the end, right?
Yep.
And you just like capstone the whole thing.
Well, yeah, no, not really. I just, I said when I came here that I just wanted to have fun. And that's all I wanted to do. Regardless of who won,
no
just
pressure.
Wanted to have fun. Yeah.
All right, Joe.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Yeah.
All right, Kevin Lowe, let's talk outside.
Yeah, let's do this real quick because I got to go.
All right, Kevin Lowe, what happened?
Well, you know, I didn't take home the gold, you know, and I didn't get it done.
Me neither.
End of the day, you know, that's how it happened.
You know, that's what's going to be looked at as our legacies. You know, we showed up, we lost. You know, it kind of feels bad.
I brought the most people, so I guess I did really well in the crowd part. I guess the judges didn't feel that my material or my stage presence was any good, because, well, I guess, you know, try it out and try some more next time. I'm going to keep trying.
I tell you when, like, I first gave you some spirit knowledge about what the journey of being a stand-up was?
I don't remember.
You were saying something about just like, hey, you're a big fucking faggot pussy. Why don't you keep doing this shit, motherfucker?
Yeah, you gotta keep doing it, dude.
Right?
Yeah. Nothing else I could do.
All right, Patrick.
I'm a little disappointed, but, you know, that's how it happens. You gotta use that disappointment as fuel to keep going forward, you know?
I'm not stopping. Yeah. This shit my religion. Either. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm saying my religion failed me today.
It did.
You know, Shep Kelly's religion succeeded. I got to learn the spirit knowledge from what Shep Kelly did tonight to fuel me as, like, a better understanding for why, like, your Flock of Seagulls haircut didn't work. You know,
yeah, I'm trying to wrap my head.
You're like Simba anointing.
Trying to wrap my head around it. Can't really figure it out, but, you know, that's the way.
I did think that either me or you was going to win, actually. That's kind of what I was thinking when the judges were reading their scores. Were you in the same mind space?
Yeah.
Do you think it was going to be me or you?
Yeah. And
is that white privilege, though?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Maybe just not fun enough.
All right, bud.
See you later.
I'll be right back. I'm just taking it.
All right, Kevin Lowe.
Yeah,
it's been another episode.
I guess I just need to be funnier. I don't know what it is.
All right, this has been another episode.
I'm about to get pretty drunk.
All right, Highway Diary in the motherfucking bag. This is another episode.
Highway Diary?
Of the disappointment of trying to do stand-up every single night.
It is just, you know, that's the way it is, you know, it's... never easy, you know. Nothing worth doing is really gonna be that easy. So let's just keep it going.
Yeah.
You know, get better.
Yo, fuck your dreams in the asshole. Peace.
Yes.